Welcome to the Vegan Changemaker podcast. My name is June Fuchs, and I'm on the quest to veganize over 50% of the global human population by the year of 2030. Sounds delusional? Well, obviously, I can't do it alone, and that's why in this podcast, you're getting to meet some of the most influential, inspiring, and impactful vegans there are. May this episode help you create more vegan impact in the world, because we need your help as well, dear vegan friend.
Hello, and welcome to all our listeners to the Changemaker podcast today with another really special guest, Geoff Palmer. And I want to tell you all about how we got in touch. It was actually really funny, right? So I can actually show that to all of the viewers by opponing a tab. So I made a post on Facebook. This is also going to be on YouTube, so people are going to see this. I made a post on Facebook, this one here, huh? Question, yes. To all vegan change makers, how do you generate energy to advocate for veganism daily? Well, the post blew up, 87 comments. Everybody had something great to share. And at some point, you too, but I also saw that you were in like a comment section debate all of a sudden with another vegan who kind of pointed out that veganism is not about compassion and we should really like only focus on veganizing as efficient. And his input was okay. But at some point you commented and you said, I've been an ethical vegan for the animals for 37 years. I'm married to a 27-year-old vegan. I own a certified vegan company and created the first and only 100% vegan natural bodybuilding competition in the world. And you were selected top 40 of the most influential vegans in the world by Plant-Based News, which, if you don't know, is one of the biggest like plant-based news distributors. I'll leave the link to that in the show notes. I signed up to their newsletter. They're amazing. So yeah, you've been creating something massive there. And I want to thank you for hopping on the podcast and joining us.
Well, my pleasure. And thanks for initiating that question, because I think it's such an important question. People who are heart-centered and compassionate care so much about the animals, myself included. And it can be draining sometimes to be around people who are very resistant to it and combative even, and very negative. And I always try to stay as positive as possible. But there are certain times where I just have to say, okay, that's enough. I'm not a doormat. You know, don't mistake my compassion for being a doormat. And I will speak up and I'll voice my opinion. And of course, I'll do it with consideration and politeness, as long as the other parties are willing to. If not, there's good old delete block function in Facebook.
That's a good one. That's another option I think many of us forget when we're dealing with, let's call them the trolls in our vegan community. The ones that are just blaming and shaming each other for doing it differently or advocating differently. And there's a delete button. Yeah, you can click that button. You can click a block button. You can click a delete button. All those options are available, right? So I would love to ask you a little bit, like, as you've been growing into this really influential personality, which in other words, your greatest version, which I often like to refer to, I would love for you to take me and all of our listeners back to 37 years ago, which is quite some time. It's quite some time, right? 37 years ago, when you decided to go vegan, can you describe to us how it was like to be vegan that long ago?
Yes. So, okay. So let's start out. I was always a nature boy. I loved playing outside, and we lived by the lake. We had woods by my house. I was just fascinated by nature. It always seemed to balance itself. It always seemed to be in harmony. The weeds never grew where there was too much shade. It's just this organic symphony dance of nature. I was just fascinated by it. But to me, the human population seem to just not pay attention to any of that harmony, to any of that diversity and respect. And the dance was not there. It was conquering. It was power over instead of power with. And, you know, I felt like, oh my God, you know, is this world the right place for me? I lost my father at 18 to alcohol. I lost my mother a few years later. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I lost my brother to paranoid schizophrenia. I was born in a very high IQ family and a very heart-centered family. And those two things made it very tough and very alienated from society to begin with. One, being a male and heart-centered, wasn't accepted amongst my peers. Being, you know, getting straight A's, I was getting mocked and made fun of. Oh, you're the brainy kid and nobody wants to hang with me. And so I intentionally just started getting bad grades so I can fit in. I started just trying to be like them. And it was just so not me that I was like, do I really belong here? Is this really the right place for me? And having lost my family unit, all my siblings, my brother, my father, my mother, it was just the world was collapsing in on me. And I sank into suicidal depression and attempted to take my life twice and failed, fortunately, both times. But the depression was so intense. I was walking in emotional and mental pain all the time. I couldn't take it. And I was doing all the drugs. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was doing all of it. And just nothing would numb it anymore. And a girl walked into the bar when I was getting just stone drunk again. And I looked at her and she was just beaming with energy. So I was like, well, what do I have to lose? I just walked up to this complete stranger and I said, show me how to be like that. I want to be happy. I want to feel like I see you look. And she was a little taken back, obviously, you know, a stranger coming up to her bar and asking her how to be happy. But she smiled and she said, I just came from a healer. I'd love to introduce you to him. And I said, take me to your leader, you know, what have I got to lose? And of course, being a very intellectual person and cynical at the same time, feeling like this world is just not for me. I went there with a lot of skepticism, but I got to the door, the guy opened the door and he stopped and just looked straight into my eyes and said, oh, you came here to prove me wrong. And I'd never felt so naked before in my life. He saw me, not the person I was putting on, not the person I wanted people to think I was. He saw me. So I said, what the hell? Let's do this. I'll let my guard down. What have I got to lose? I'm ready to take my own life anyway, and this time for good. He sat me in and we just started talking about nothing. And he said, it's your father. My heart sank. I'd lost my father just a couple of years before from alcohol. And I had so much love and so much anger for him, for abandoning me at 18 years of age when I needed him most, when I needed a father figure for guidance, when I was struggling with a world I couldn't comprehend why it was the way it was. And he said, do this for me. He goes, just repeat this phrase. I created the separation between myself and my father, and then tell me what that is. And every time I would say something that he did, and he goes, no, that's what he did. Tell me what you did to create that separation. And as I kept doing this over and over, using the excuses, using the anger at him, at what he did, and getting it back, he forced me back to ownership of that. And my heart just broke. And the tears just poured down my face. And I saw in him the same person who took alcohol all the way to the grave because he didn't understand what I was going through and he didn't have an answer for me either. in that I found so much forgiveness. My heart just opened up and I forgave myself. I forgave my father. I saw him. Now I could empathize with him, not be angry at him, but I felt his pain. And I said, oh my God, I get to release this pain. That pain had gotten me so closed off. I had shut down my ability to love my father, to love anybody else, to love myself, to love God. I shut it all down because of my anger. And when I did release that, oh my God, the connection with everything. My brain felt like it was on fire. My hands were so humming with electricity. It was like they were plugged into light sockets. I was just vibrating from the amount of energy that was released and flowing through me. I started seeing auras on everything instantly. The plants, the everything, the light fixtures all had these amazing golden auras. I was like, oh my God, what's happening to me? And I just felt so energized, I couldn't sleep. So I stayed up all night meditating. And I looked out the window as the sun was rising, and I felt that rise inside of me. And I said, I do not want to cause harm anymore. I know that suffering. I don't want to contribute that. And my higher voice said, great, stop eating animals. And right in that moment, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I quit eating all animal products and quit doing all drugs, everything, 37 years ago, March 15th, 1985. That day, I was born again. A born again vegan, that's what I call it. But I reconnected to that ability to love everything, love the animals, love nature, love myself, love other people. My worldview turned 360. I realized I didn't come here to get something from this world. I came here because I have something to give this world. And that was the blessing I needed. That was the empowerment that I needed to say, now I'm in the right place. What is the best thing for someone who has a lot of love to give? Go to some place where it's needed. And boy, does this world need lots of love.
Ooh, uh-huh.
Wow. So that was the turning point for me. And yes, it was weird because I didn't even know the word vegan back then. Somebody told me about a year after I was practicing it. I was just calling myself an exclusive vegetarian because I didn't even know the word vegan. No books, no movies out back in 1985. There was no internet yet for the general public. So no social media, no digital phones. No, none of that. But I knew in my heart of hearts, it was right. Now, I was raised as an intellectual. I was finishing my degree in biology and I was looking at all the physiology and I was like, well, wait a minute. If I know in my heart of hearts, this is right, then there's got to be scientific evidence that shows this is right on other levels as well. So I said, all right, that's what I'm going to apply. I'm going to start looking for proof that this is that. And I've spent the last 35 years of my life uncovering every single study I could read. My wife kids me all the time. She's like, are you staying up reading studies again? I'm like, I've got a good one. This one shows we don't need this. We don't need animals. We don't need all that stuff that we're consuming. And it's been a joy. I not only committed in that day on March 15th to living this lifestyle for the animals, for the environment, for others, but I committed the rest of my life to helping other people. And that's been the joy of my life. So I've been looking all my life for ways at which I can be a better person, to be a better example of what it is to be vegan. And one of those ways I've found, especially with men, is obviously where do you get your protein, right? The big concern that you're going to be somehow wimpy and undernourished, right? And, you know, here I am, 17-inch gun, a 60-year-old male with 17-inch guns, 100% drug-free for 37 years. and it can be done, that masculinity needs to be redefined in this age. Eating meat is not masculine if it's killing you, if it's causing diseases so you cannot provide for your family and your loved ones. You are not in a place to defend and protect those who care about you if you're sick, and meat is killing men. And that's not masculine. It's not. There is strength in compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is connecting with others and being there to protect them, protect the weak, right? We see the masculine roles, policemen. What is that? Serve and protect, right? That's what we can do. Military, serve and protect, defend the weak, defend the innocent. Animals are innocent. These are masculine traits to be vegan. And I just want to show people that there is a different path forward. You do not have to go down to the path of eating animals, getting the diseases, taking the drugs, and dying miserably way too early. You don't have to. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's how it all began back in 37 years ago.
Well, that was a very powerful, long-winded answer. Wow. And I remember you sent me also a message like, you've read through my bio and we know we can relate to certain things because I'm familiar with suicidal depression and I'm familiar with like losing a father figure in life. He didn't die. He didn't die physically, but that's another story. And like, I love that you speak into redefining masculinity, because for me as a queer man, it's a big story as well. And still identify as a male, and I am very in touch with my masculine side as well. And like redefining how powerful it is, as you just said so nicely, to live compassionate and truly caring for the weak and the strong around us, whatever, wherever they are, that is true masculine force that we're building. And I love that you're doing that on such a deep heart-centered level, and then it manifests in your physicality. Like, look at you. You are ripped as fuck. It's so beautiful to see this living proof of, you know, I am the answer to the question, can I? And I'm not the only one. And I'm bringing these people together as you do so nicely, as we both do so nicely. One more thing that I picked up on before I have another question for you, which is like burning on my mind right now. as you took us on this deep journey, thank you so much, by the way. That was really fucking vulnerable, which is masculine as well, by the way, darlings, to you listening. It's very masculine to be vulnerable. And you took us to this place where you reinvented yourself, basically, and you went to a healer. You seeked guidance, not from a place of I need guidance now, but you were like, what the heck, what do I have to lose, you know? Like, and this curiosity out of either desperation or actual curiosity, it doesn't matter. I want to highlight that again, because I see so many vegans and non-vegans as I move through this world with the eyes of me as who I am and the eyes of a coach and a guide to people. And I see so many repeat these suffering patterns because they blame and shame others. And not only is that in our vegan family, in our vegan community, it's blaming the family, blaming the parents, blaming the siblings, blaming job, blaming work for how it is. And you said it in the best words ever, reclaiming the responsibility for your own health, well-being, for your own journey. And I just want to highlight that again. So everybody who's listening and who feels like you're not exactly on the path that you want to be. And I know most of our listeners are vegans, so you're already on a big, big, you know, field of the path of compassion. Yet be honest with yourself and ask also what other parts of you are you healing, because the more you heal yourself, the more impactful you become for our dear animal family in the world and all of our loved ones. That's what I believe. So just wanted to highlight that again. And yeah, amen. And the question that I'm having is, like, as you were redefining yourself, and as you were finding this strength, as you moved along and you became vegan even before knowing that this was called vegan, right? It was just a natural choice. I know that a lot of vegans out there think they have to know everything about veganism to convince somebody to become vegan. And I disagree strongly. I always say your story is your superpower. So if you've become vegan, you have everything in you you need to know to tell somebody to help them become vegan as well, period. Now, how did it start for you to develop this, it's kind of, I'm tempted to call it a universe. You basically cost it like a space into our world where people come together and celebrate passion and compassion and demonstrate how possible it is to be on a plant-based, on a vegan, on a compassionate, heart-centered diet. Live that vision and be healthy, ripped, fit. So take us back to how this whole thing started for you. How did it start for you? How did you start creating these natural vegan bodybuilding competitions? That's what I want to know.
So I after this heart and mind opening and really feeling like I stepped into my true self, that was nearly, I felt almost like a walking zombie for so much of my life, you know, that I had this amazing connection, but I had this other world that was just chipping away at me on the outside. But when I turned that around to an empowered situation, I mean, where does a doctor go? A doctor goes to a hospital, right? Because that's where all the sick people are, because that's where he or she can do the most good. And I'm like, okay, I am in the right place. I just have to keep reminding myself, this is where I belong to be able to help others. If you really want to help, then go to the place where the help is needed, right? Is it challenging? Yes. Talk to any nurse that was on the battlefield. Is it challenging, but is it rewarding? 100%. And the rewards you get, like once I started helping people with nutrition and finding some of these facts that I could do this, a guy came in, I was working at a vitamin for the largest vitamin company in the country. And I was working in one of the retail units, and a guy came in and said, look, do you have anything? I have kidney cancer and they're going to remove my kidneys and I'll be on dialysis the rest of my life. And they said, I'll probably only live 10 to 15 years longer. He says, I'm too young for this. Can you help me? Is there anything? And I said, I've just been reading some research about IP6, something. It's a really cool chemical that can actually reverse cancer cells. And it's found in all plants, in phytate bound iron, in plants. And I'm like, when higher doses, it could do some amazing things. So in supplements, you're not allowed to say anything too medical. So I connected him with the medical doctors. I didn't see him for months. And I thought, oh, he probably didn't make it. He came in and he saw my face and his eyes just started welling up. And he ran over and he says, do you mind if I hug you? I said, no, what happened? He goes, it's gone. It's completely gone. And when you have that kind of power to make that kind of impact and can share that kind of information that could have such impact, only in him, his wife, his children, who thought they were going to lose him. That's everything to me. You know, people say, oh, you're in supplements to make money. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? There are some incredible plants out there that are healing people, that are making a difference in people's health and their lives. I want to bring that to the world. I want to read the studies, find those plants, put them in forms that people can have access to, because they're not plants in our dietary intake. You know, we have 600,000 edible plants on this planet, and we eat about 20 or 30 of them on a daily basis. plants have these healing powers. 60% of all drugs originated in plants, all their healing properties. We have this ability now to go out and find these, test these plants, or bring them to people. So when I saw this and said, I can really improve lives by bringing plants that nobody else would bring to. Ahiflower is this amazing plant that's the highest in omega-3s. I was the first to bring it to market. It won the best supplement of the year, the top supplement award in the United States. I took it to the top retailer and I said, this is clinically proven 4 times more effective than anything you have on your shelf. He goes, we're not going to take it. And I'm like, why? And he goes, well, you have a study showing it's 4 times better than the rest of our products won't sell. And I'm like, you're going to not sell something that's 4 times clinically proven, 4 times better for all of your customers because of profits for you? Yep. And I said, okay, that's your game. I'm going to take it straight to the public. I'm going to start doing live videos every week and tell people about the magic of these plants, the health benefits. So I do. I do a weekly podcast on all the basic research that is coming out and let people empower themselves. You can make an empowered decision for your life, for your health, for your families, for people who love you and care about you and want you to stay here because they love who you are. Yeah, I want to help those people. That's what makes this adventure so much fun. It's hard work. It's hard because my business is nowhere successful near it could be if I was just selling regular crap like everybody else. I sell the cutting edge. People don't know what it is. They've never heard of it. People don't know about the science or can't understand it. So my sales are small, but I don't care. It's the best out there. And I'm going to keep explaining it until the world does know.
Oh my God, and again, I could relate
because
so
it's
much.
It's not about yes. money for me. It's about helping people. And
that's
as long as
really
I was working
about.
For another company, it was always about the money.
Yeah.
I would suggest things. I was a developer for some of the top brands in the United States, and I would bring some of these incredible, and they would say, no, it's not going to make money. And I'm like, but this could save people's lives. I found this cactus flower. The most effective, more effective, is actually developed by a pharmaceutical company. More effective than anything else at reducing the risk of prostate cancer. 80% reduction in 3 months. And that was the clinical trial done by the pharmaceutical company. Here's the thing, though. When they did that, they said, okay, now let's find the single chemical, right, that we can patent and turn into a drug and make $1 billion off of it. Well, when they studied the plant, they found it had a synergistic effect. It was about 4 or 5 different chemicals working together. They can't patent that. So what they did is they actually took all this research and buried it in the archives of the University of Israel so no one would ever see it. No male would be able to see that they could save their own lives. Prostate cancer is one of the fastest growing cancer killers of men in the United States. Up to 1 in 5 men will have prostate cancer in their lifetime. And this is an inexpensive herb that is more effective than the top pharmaceuticals, discovered by a pharmaceutical company, tested by a pharmaceutical company, and they intentionally kept it out of the public domain so they could continue to profit off their drugs. This kind of stuff just infuriates me, but it gives me more fire to want to do what I want to do, to cut through this and give this information to people so they can do it. It's got to be a movement of the people, for the people, and by the people, because the companies out there that are just profit driven are not going to do this.
Never. No, no. Wow. And like, I can relate so much to, as you say, like have this fire. That can be, it can be sourced in a certain sense of anger and frustration, but then also it can be transmuted. And I think that's the game we really got to learn how to play as the change makers we are in this world, and as like the life saving, and not only life saving, but like the truly transform transformative wisdom we carry, we've gifted ourselves with to learn. Now, when we go into these places of anger and we transmute that into a motivation, as you say, you go live every week, you want those people to know out there because they just deserve it. And even if they're not consciously asking for it, subconsciously they're asking for it. Everybody is asking to be more healthy. And if you think, oh my God, I'm the healthiest. No. There's another layer. You know, there's another layer to heal, honey. Have you been 200 years on this world? Probably not yet. So let's keep healing, you know, and make it fun as well. Make it playful. And that's something I always love to point out is because I know it facing these bigger companies and like not having a war with them, but actually saying, I'm not going to support you because the higher vision that I have is to actually heal people instead of making money. And how do you, like, when you find yourself dropping into that anger, which we know is a very consuming emotion, like it anger usually shuts us down if we can't transmute it and let it go again, because once the anger is set free, we'll have the motivation to work and be present. But when we're working with anger, I think we're destroying rather than creating impact in a positive direction. So when you feel anger, let's say in the example with these companies, like you've probably felt really pissed when they were like, oh my God, fuck you all. How dare you? How dare you not take this on your shelves? Like what helps you to transmute that anger and to reshape it so that you, as I see you, can function as this really impactful human being? How do you shift out of the anger?
Yeah, and for me, so much of it, whether it's the animals, you know, when I see the horror that goes on in our animal agriculture system, from grinding chicks at a baby to calf euthanization for the dairy industry, it's horrific. I mean, it's brutal, it's disgusting, it's barbaric. And that hurts. I feel that. They're my earthlings, my fellow earthlings. We're, you know, we share this planet. We're just an animal like they are. We just think we're better, and we're not. We're much worse. They live in harmony with their other animals. We do not. And so for me, that's almost always a sense of injustice. But when my wife and I have this this funny thing when we're driving in the car and somebody gets a little road rage, we go, well, sending you some love. And that's what I have to keep reminding myself of. When faced with anger, to recognize that somebody else is struggling and come at it from that angle. You know, okay, they're in a bad place. They're in a rough place. If someone is, and I get this so many from, and I hate to generalize because I don't like generalizations in any aspect, but mostly from white males in our society, is this adamant, arrogant ignorance. And that's the toughest thing for me, when it's so wrong and they know they're wrong and they will ignorantly say something just belligerently on top of it. And you're like, why go there? Why do that? That's not necessary. And I have to just take a step back and say, okay, they're in a bad place, and leave them with something good. Try to find some sort of connection and just leave it and walk away. Planting seeds sometimes is so much more powerful than expecting a result. Just leave a seed and let it grow. I don't know how many times I've been faced with that with someone, and then 5, maybe 10 years later, they look me up on social media and said, I went vegan. I had thought about what you said all those years ago. And I'm like, oh, wow. Things that you just gave up on. Like, oh, he's never going to change. He's going to die. He's going to go down that path of heart attack, stroke, and diabetes and debt in 10, 15 years. And turning it around. You just got to trust in the process. And it may not happen today. It may not happen in the next few years. but everyone has the ability to change. I went from wanting to immediately cease my life, that my pain was that deep and hard, to I went from seeing the world as a torture place to seeing it as a playground where I get to explore what I can do, the possibilities of what I can contribute to. That excites me every day. I call it Christmas every day. I get to see what packages I open today. You know, I was just at the gym today and I met a woman and she read my vegan shirt and started talking. And I told her, you know, she was eating eggs. And I said, you know, the highest in methionine, and methionine actually feeds cancer cell growth. And she goes, I did not know that. We ended up into this conversation that went on for like a half an hour. And she was nearly in tears, holding my hand, saying, thank you for taking the time to give me so much information. That means everything. She goes, I'm sorry for messing up your workout. I said, I can work out anytime. I don't get to share on this level with people very often. Thank you for listening. And that's the kind of stuff that I feel value. You know, we so focus on currency, right? Fiat currency, money, right? Money is a symbol of value, but we forget what the intrinsic value behind that is. And that's us. It's the human being. It's the love. It's the kindness. It's the gestures of help to each other. That's what that piece of paper is supposed to represent. We forget that being a kind person to another person is the original currency. Let's get back to that value system, right? That's what I live for. When I can have moments like this in the gym, there is no amount of money that can buy that experience. That comes from two people being open and sharing and kind to each other. And that's a powerful experience. That's the original currency.
Amen. Amen to that. Yeah. Yeah. And like, I sometimes remember these moments when these, you say it, so that it's like every time or every day is Christmas and you can choose the like packages to open, and they're everywhere. They're really everywhere. And I feel like when we sink into these states of sadness, anger, frustration, desperation, maybe even, we can't even see the gifts. We can't even see the people in front of us that are ready to hear this beautiful thing that we have to share. And sometimes I even myself catch myself forgetting how empowering it was to become vegan. And it wasn't frustrating at all. It was such an empowering process. It was so, oh my God, I'm marrying this version of me that I feel so much more aligned with than the version I was living before. And the version I was living before was a McDonald's worker, by the way. So whole other story. But like, I'm marrying this version, and to be a catalyst for someone that is about to step into that, I think that's really the mindset that we really have to like meditate into our brains and beings, or whatever tool, journal it into your heart. When you come from that mindset, then you can be open for such a thing, as you just said. You can be open for conversation with somebody about eggs instead of being like, oh, the bitch still didn't get that the eggs are unhealthy. Right? That's the thought that so many of us just live by. And to come from that point of like, oh, she just hasn't learned that yet, so let me take a moment to gift her with that wisdom in order to help her, her health, her people around her, ooh, and the chickens, our lovely friends, the chickens. So there is so much more impact in seeing every possibility as a gift. And one more thing that I want to talk about is, because I know that a lot of vegans dance the dance of introvert, extrovert, right? Ooh, I'm an introvert. I can't be an activist. I'm an introvert. And or I'm an extrovert. I'm too extreme. I'm too, I push people away. I'm too, whoa, or whatever it is, the excuse there is with the introvert, extrovert story. Yeah, what I want to zoom in on is that each of us, I love to call it the vegan zone of brilliance, or scratch the vegan, just the zone of brilliance. Each of us has like a unique to themselves way of creating impact in whatever way, shape, or form that is. And the invitation really is to discover this zone of brilliance where you light up, where your mindset remains sustainably healthy, and you can keep being open for these gifts. Now, another thing we haven't talked about, and which I would love for you to talk about, because to me, that is just a massive gift that you've taken ownership over and you've put it into the world, like the bodybuilding events. And I'm getting goosebumps right now. It's so unique and yet so clear to me that it's needed to represent that. So you're having an event coming up. I would love for you to be, you just told us before we started recording that you're in the preparation process. This is like all putting into shape. You have how many square meters?
It's 20,000 square feet of space in beautiful, world-famous Fort Lauderdale Beach at the Broward Convention Center. So it's indoors and just going to have, 60 different vendors from all different lifestyles, whether it's endurance or whatever way you get healthy and fit, from sexual health to mental health to fasting to whole foods to Pilates to yoga to we have a guy who's going down to run the entire distance of South America and set the new Guinness World Book of Records as a vegan on a bicycle. Just some incredible people doing incredible things. Another one of our runners is running the entire perimeter of the United States in world record time. He runs 60 miles a day with 30 minutes of sleep because of the energizing effects of raw foods in his diet. It's just phenomenal. He owns like 14 world records as a raw food vegan. These are just some of the incredible gifts that when we put the right food into our body, our cells change, our brain structure changes, our microbiome shifts and changes and starts producing chemicals. Way back when I was in college in the 80s, I was studying neurotransmitters because I was fascinated because of depression, and I had broken free the depression. I've never had a day of depression in my life in the last 37 years. So I'm like, okay, what is going on here? So SSRIs, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, serotonin's a key neurochemical to make us happy. Well, I was looking at one of these chemicals that were found in the brains that was inhibiting serotonin, so blocking our ability to be happy. And I'm like, what is that chemical? And it was from our diet. And I looked and like, where's that chemical coming from? Because it's not found in the human body. It's released in an animal when they're slaughtered. When an animal is killed, it releases this neurochemistry that shuts down serotonin because it needs to focus on survival. It cannot allow itself happy thoughts because it is 100% dedicated, fearing for its life, that it needs to somehow figure out a way to survive. And that neurochemistry pours into all the tissues, and then we eat that chemical, and it literally blocks us from being as happy as we could be. You are taking on the pain and suffering, the biochemical pain and suffering of the animal when you consume it, and it is actually preventing you from living as happy a life as you could. I mean, I was studying, I traveled to like 54 different countries all around the world to study different cultures and how they gained happiness and stuff. And when I saw this literal translation of karma, do unto others as you would have done to you. When you actually take on the fear, the anger, the sadness of an animal, chemically, it does the same to you. Yes, not identical. It's a different chemical in a human being when we release it, but the brain thinks it's under that level of stress and behaves that way. So I'm like, oh my God, we got to get this information out there. So I was doing sweat lodges in Native American cultures and stuff like this. And I noticed when you get in a sweat lodge, there's this outpouring of sweat, right? So it's a physical, just outpouring and release, just this release. And then comes this wave of outpouring of emotions, and you know, the tears can fall or the joy can just be released, and the forgiveness and everything, just the emotions just pour freely like the sweat is. And then the mind just starts flying with all these thoughts of things. It's like, wow, this is amazing. But what they were doing was taking something physical and making it shift dramatically. And then the emotions would want to come with it. And then the mind would want to come with it. And even the spiritual self would, or energetic self would want to come with it. And I'm like, oh, this is fascinating. What can I do? Not everybody is going to do, you know, float tanks or you know, all these different practices. It's too foreign to them. But what is something we do on a day-to-day basis that I could get? And I'm like, diet. We eat 3 to 4 times a day, sometimes more. If I could get people to radically shift that diet, maybe that emotional shift, that energetic shift, that mental shift can happen too as well. And exercise. If I can get people to exercise and release all those endorphins and start that chemical process that starts burning fat and making them feel better about themselves, yes. So, okay, everybody's pretty much good with a little bit of exercise and a little bit of change of diet. I'm going to start there. So I said, I'm going to form a company that focuses on plant-based nutrition. Did you see I got the symbol for the flower of life there? Yes. Very intentional. Sacred geometry with the center of it being the leaf, the green, the plant, because plants make all of the nutrients for all herbivores and humans on the planet. All the vitamins, all the essential aminos, all the essential fats, all are made by plants. You know, the first thing people ask is, where do you get your protein? And I laugh because all protein originates in plants. Animals do not make proteins. They can take proteins and tear them apart and put them back together again, but they don't make them. Plants can only do that. They make it through photosynthesis by taking nitrogen out of either the air or the ground and combining it to glucose and making amino acids. That's how it's made. All of your protein comes from plants. For every animal on this planet, it doesn't come from anywhere else.
No, it doesn't. So everybody non-vegan listening now, honey, you can get happier by eating a vegan diet. And now you know that it's not only spiritual woo-woo. Now we know that it's scientifically proven. Plus, you can get ripped only by plants. Only by plants. So do the animals.
Oh, only by eating plants.
This is gonna be like the screenshot on the thumbnail of YouTube.
That's a 60-year-old drug-free male. 60. Come on, man. Stop with the excuses. Stop with the fear. There's a bunch of fear propaganda out there. I want to show you there's no reason for this fear. It is an unfounded fear. It is a fear made by marketing companies to keep you buying their products.
Yes. Yes. And we all have eyes. And even if you're blind, you can touch a body. Like, sometimes I get the question, and do you feel better? And then I'm like, look at me. Look at me. Just look at me. Just feel
exactly.
Like, do I feel better? Do I feel better? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Can I surf longer? Do I have more power? Do I feel mind, like, is my mind better? Yes, yes. Not only due to the diet, but a big, big factor is the diet. And I've been raw vegan and now high raw for a long time. So down that path, really believe in it. Done the research. We're not going to open that book in this podcast episode, but honey, unprocessed foods, or as little as possible processed foods, as natural as possible, and just vegan, period. That's the way to heal. That's the way to be. Oh my God, Jeff, how can like people that want to learn more from you or work with you or join the event, where can they get in touch with you?
So it's called the Vegan Health and Fitness Expo. So you can go to VHFExpo.com. So that's the Vegan Health and Expo. And the World Vegan Bodybuilding Championship will be at the event. So it's a combined event. So if you're not into bodybuilding, that's fine. But you can look on stage and see what, you know, hopefully around 100 different vegan bodybuilders from all around the world, men and women, can do with their bodies without the use of drugs. This is a drug-tested event, so there'll be 100% drug-free and 100% vegan athletes on stage to show you what can be accomplished. That's just to set an example, but there's going to be all kinds of things going on, like yoga and Pilates and everything else, endurance athletes. So whatever form of exercise, health, and fitness that you're into, we hope to have some representation there, for including ecstatic dance. So let music, let food, let fun, let all of it be part of your body's overall health. If you want to check out our company, it's Clean Machine Online. I named it that to encourage everybody to keep this incredible machine we're born into, the human body, as clean and healthy, and not use animal products or drugs. And so you can do this, check us out at Clean Machine Online. And then you can check me out at Jeff Palmer on Facebook. It's G-E-O-F-F, the original spelling for Jeff Palmer on Facebook. I'm at my friend limit, but definitely if you're interested, send me a like or follow. I do every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time in the United States, I do a podcast on all the latest research to show people what's going on in the scientific community. There's so much I could spend hours here talking with you, and thank you for giving me some time to be here. I just love sharing good information that empowers people. For me, veganism is an empowerment movement. It's about saying, hey, I can do something that I feel good about. You know, when I was listening to Walter Cronkite way back in the Vietnam War, and they were interviewing him, they asked him a question: what do you believe stopped the Vietnam War? Was it the body bags coming home? Was it the protests in the street? Was it the academics calling for the end of the war? Was it the economy that was collapsing because of the weight of the war? And he said something very powerful. It was all of it. And that's an important piece. When you're in a movement, remember that whatever you do well, apply that there, because it all matters. People can hear it from lots of different ways, whether it's protesting on the street or helping a friend or sharing a study. All of it matters. Just do what you enjoy and do best. And that's what you'll be best at. And that's the way you can help the movement, because we need everyone, artists, athletes, doctors, everyone, because every different way can reach a different person. Together, we add up, and that makes a movement.
That does make a movement. All of the links you mentioned will be shared in the show notes or in the description of the YouTube video. Everybody who wants to get in touch with you, Shal, please do so. I'll remain in touch with you. I really love your energy, and I really, really enjoyed having this conversation recorded for everybody listening. If you want to be in touch with me, I'll share all the links to my website, my platforms, my courses as well. And that's it for today. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and bless you all. Stay vegan, choose your zone of brilliance, and change the world in your own unique way, as Jeff just said.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Vegan Changemaker podcast. Please share it with your friends, your family, your social network, and your loved ones. If you want to get your impact to the next level, I invite you to take the Vegan Impact Quiz. I created it to help you figure out what the next steps are for you to elevate your vegan impact and create more significant influence in the world. Check out the link, I left it for you in the show notes, and I'm curious to see where you're gonna land and what your next steps will be. Let's veganize this world together, dear vegan friend.